You're listening to episode 28 of the Boss Lady Investor podcast. Boss ladies, on this episode, we have the amazing, the beautiful, the talented Rebecca Lima. Rebecca is a certified life coach and is trained under Tony Robbins, Chloe Mark, and Magali Pesha. She's also a Financial Peace University coordinator under the Dave Ramsey program. But more than that, she's a mom of two and a woman just like you and I that has been through the ups and downs and the struggles and curveballs that life has to offer. Little backstory on Rebecca. When Rebecca was 18, she married her high school sweetheart. And like many people in young relationships, though not all, the relationship did quickly prove to be emotionally and financially abusive, and when Rebecca finally got the courage and strength to leave at 21 years old, she ended up sleeping in her car. She promised herself that no matter what, once she got back on her feet, she would never let herself get into a situation like that again. Fast forward many years, and Rebecca has grown a life that's fantastic. She was married again. She was a financial administrator for over a decade for a multi-million dollar business when a sudden health scare put her in the hospital for 10 days and gave her her great wake-up call that she needed to find her passion and her purpose in life. And that's when Rebecca took a step back, reevaluated everything in her life, pulled up her big girl panties, and started her new career as a life coach. Since then, she's been coaching people session by session and helping them transforming their life. She's found her calling and is loving what she does every single day. And she is super enjoying helping bridge the gap for people knowing what they want to do and actually doing it. So guys, I am very excited to welcome Rebecca to the show. She's had all kinds of experiences. She has wonderful advice. And when we're going through this difficult time in our history, in our country's history, in the world's history, the positivity that she brings to the table is incredibly welcomed. Now, before we go into the podcast, you know I'm going to throw this out there. A couple things. One, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you like what I have to say, if you find the information valuable, please hop on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or whatever you're listening to the podcast with and give me a review. I work really hard to put these shows together and want to make sure that we're getting the word out to as many people as possible and helping other boss ladies learn the tricks and tools that they need to be successful entrepreneurs and successful at money management. So if you would give me a shout out and a review on one of those sites. Also, if you haven't bought my book, The Boss Lady Investor, You Don't Need a Dick to Understand Money, it is now available. Are you ready for it? It's available on Amazon in Kindle, paperback, and finally, Audible version. So those of you that have been waiting for the Audible, it is finally out there. And whew, that was a chore. I'll do a whole different podcast on. My book is also available on Barnes and Noble's website now. So very excited about that. And hopefully we'll be on their shelves soon. So grab your copy and let me know what you think of it. Give me a review on Amazon for that. If you get a chance, I would love it. And with that, we're going to get started with the show. We're going to talk to Rebecca and see all the awesome information she has to share with us. So here we go. Hey, everyone. So we have Rebecca Lima on the phone with us, or on the podcast, really, with us. So, Rebecca, thanks for taking the time to be with us on the podcast today. Welcome to the show. We're excited to have you.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate being here.
No problem. Rebecca's coming to us from Colorado, and I'm not sure when each of you are listening to this, but we're recording this in the middle of the coronavirus epidemic. So when you get a chance to listen to this, hopefully we'll be way past that, but that is part of our world right now, so we're going to talk about that a little on the show. But before we do that, Rebecca, can you tell everyone about you, who you are, what you do, your business, all the things that make you, you?
Sure. So you're going to hear an accent. I was actually born in Brazil. I've been in the United States for about 20 years now. And I know poverty and I know scarcity from third world country poverty, not the poverty that we see here, which is a different kind of poverty that's unseen. I've been in finances my whole life. I was a financial administrator of a multi-million dollar business for 10 years before coaching full-time. So now I coach entrepreneurs to make more money and let go of all the anxiety and overwhelm that entrepreneurship brings. And I'm just excited to be here today. And actually, a little side note about me. What made me really, really good with money was not only coming from poverty, from third world poverty, in managing multi-millions of dollars for, you know, the business that I worked for many years and helping entrepreneurs make more money. What made me really, really good with money was sleeping in my car after leaving a toxic relationship. So not having it made me really, really good with it.
All right. So tell us about that. So you were in a toxic relationship. You ended up sleeping in your car, which is not probably where you wanted to be, and yet somehow managed to crawl out of that situation to create a life that's awesome and wonderful and where you have money and all the things. So how, tell us about what happened to get you out of that situation.
Well, the mindset shift, you know, that's what changed everything. And a lot of us, sometimes we have this perception that the mindset is going to change everything, but the mindset leads to the action, and the action that we take is what changes everything. So rock bottom was a beautiful place to start for me. What happened was he was Prince Charming, and once we kissed, he turned into a frog. Somehow that tends to happen a lot. And he was a great person, but very abusive, and financially abusive as well. Something that not a lot of us talk about, and I think we should talk about more about financial abuse. So, you know, he wanted my money, but nothing was shared. Like, it was just very toxic. So one day I decided that that was it. And I left with the clothes that I had. I left all the furniture and I left all my clothes behind. And sleeping in my car, I promised myself that I'll never be broke or that broken ever again. And I've been following through with that promise for about 10 years now.
That's awesome. So I, in my book, in my second marriage, which ended in divorce, I talk a lot about the abuse in that relationship, both emotional, financial, and other. And it's really hard to walk away from those situations, even though from an outsider looking in, you'd think, of course, get out of it, right? And a lot of the women that I know and talk to are so afraid of leaving a situation that, while it might not be a great emotional situation, it's a better financial situation than they'll have on their own. So can you give some words of advice for women that are in that position and scared, and let them know it's not the end of the world? Like, you may have had to sleep in your car, but look, 10 years later, you're not in this abusive relationship and you can have confidence in yourself, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I think that, you know, as women, we have this layer of protection that we always think it could be worse. It could be worse. There's a lot of people dealing with could be worse. But the mindset shift that you really need to see, and I am pretty sure that you touched this in your book, is that it could be better. It could be way better. And you deserve better. You know, you deserve, you're worth of more. You deserve better. There is more out there. And sometimes we do have to reach rock bottom, but there is a way out. You've probably done worse things in your life, more challenging situations. So this is just going to be one that's going to build you up. And it's going to be your breakdown before your breakthrough. You know, things will get better and you're worth taking that chance on yourself.
All right. So you got out of that bad situation and you started to rebuild yourself financially. What things did you find were important for you to learn about? What was kind of your starting path of creating the wealth, creating the finances so that you could live comfortably and independently? And what do you find were very important lessons for you along the way regarding money that you think a lot of women may overlook?
I finally start charging my worth. You know, I think a lot of us, we just settle, just kind of like we settled in relationships that are not the best for us. We settle in jobs that are not the best for us. So I just started standing up for myself and demanding to have a seat at the table, demanding the same salaries that my counterparts did. I asked for help. You know, I was very proud, but there's a certain time that I had to ask for help. And, you know, I had friends and people who stepped in and who were able to help me. And I started really learning everything that I could about money, because they say time is money, but I try to shift that thinking. And I say that the more we know, the more we earn. And the more that you know about money, the more that you make friends with money, the better it will be. Because we are scared of money. And I saw the patterns in my life where I was in that financial abuse situation and I was using money as coping mechanism. You know, I was using money for things to make me feel better in the meantime, because I wasn't happy in my relationship. I wasn't happy within myself. I wasn't happy in my daily life. So I just started using money as in a very wasteful way just to feel better about myself.
All right. So where are you at now? What is your current business? What do you do for income? Tell us about your life today.
Sure. So I help entrepreneurs make my money. So my income is 100% from coaching. We also invest in real estate. That's something that we do as a family. And we're just navigating this time, this uncertain time, just like all Americans are right now. And that's what we do for income.
Awesome. And how is the coaching environment now that we're in the middle of coronavirus? Have you noticed any changes to your business, positive or negative? And how do you anticipate getting through the unforeseen amount of time, whether it's a week or 10 months, whatever it's going to be with this current situation? Because I know a lot of people are really nervous about it and we've never obviously seen anything like this before. So we're all having to figure out how to deal with it along the way.
Sure. So the coaching environment, actually, I'm very blessed. All of my clients have been using up their, you know, with the current situation, they want to make sure that they're using their sessions, that they're keeping their level headed, that they're being the voice of reason. They want that sounding board, you know, at times like this. So surprisingly, I haven't had any loss of income, you know, as of yet because of coaching. People have seen the value in it during crisis. But, you know, like the flexibility, I think I am offering a lot of flexibility when it comes to my clients and my new clients, just because of the environment that we live in. I do anticipate things changing. But the thing is, right now, I really need to work on being the voice of reason instead of being the voice of fear when it comes to the mindset, to make sure that I'm being the very best leader that I can during this crisis for my clients. And even though we might be anticipating some loss of income, business has to keep going. I know a lot of us are ashamed, embarrassed to sell right now in these conditions. But the thing is, when the world is contracting when it comes to money, we as leaders have to find a way to expand. We as leaders have to find a way to keep the economy going, to keep our neighbor businesses going, to keep it going as best as we can, however we can. And I think that that's very important, especially for coaches, for thought leaders, for leaders in any position, in any industry. The bad thing about it is that this is a worldwide situation. And the great thing about it is that it's a worldwide situation. This is not industry specific. This is not economic class specific. So I think that all of us are understanding. All of us are flexible. All of us are dealing with the same thing. I think there's something very comforting about the situation.
I agree with you. I think I was on a call yesterday with a bunch of boss ladies, and we were talking about how, you know, a lot of my group would turn to me for financial advice, and I gave the advice, but I said, look, I said, we're all in the same situation. Nobody, no matter how good of a planner you are, you can't have a crystal ball and see the future. And whether you've planned financially for everything you thought could happen, or you haven't planned at all, rich, poor, black, white, it doesn't matter. It is affecting all of us. And there is a beauty in that because we get to help each other. You know, it's just like in 9/11, we saw so many people come forward doing wonderful, beautiful things for humans. And we're seeing that now. I was on the phone with a friend today and I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, you know, since I can't go to work today, he went to a local farmer's market that they're closed, but you can do delivery or whatever, takeout. He went and picked up eggs and meat and all kinds of stuff to deliver to people in the area that didn't feel comfortable going to the grocery store. So I thought that was a cool thing for him to do. You know, he said, he was telling me all the stuff he bought. He was like, I spent $350 and I'm going to be able to provide food for all these people. And I just think we do have an opportunity here to be good people. And I really like what you said about it is the thought leaders and the leaders' responsibility to be leaders at this point. Like that's why people look up to us, is to lead them through dark times, not just easy times. It's, you know, when the economy is great and everyone's making money, everyone can say rah, rah, rah. But when things are tough, they need people like us to say, okay, yes, things are tough, but it's not the end of the world. You know, we do have to continue to have some kind of economy and work and have productive lives. We're not just all going to curl up in balls and
die, you know, tomorrow. Like, we can't do that. We've got to keep moving forward. So I think it's great, the mindset that you're taking with that.
I love that. And it's, you know, I think that it's easy to be a leader when everything is going correctly. When everything is going according to plan, it's easy to lead. But the real leaders are going to rise up through times like this. I recently read a health coach posting something like, after Corona, you can either come out of Corona with a six pack or with a muffin top. It's your choice. And I think that we can do the six pack and muffin top. We can do that analogy with our tools. Like, are we learning? How are we going to come out of this better than we came in? How are we going to really be present? How are we going to serve? How are we going to lead our families? You know, I think that we have to be leaders inside of our families as well as, you know, in the community. So how are we going to come out of this? Are we going to come up with a brain, you know, six pack with a brain muffin top? How are we going? Are we feeding into the fear or are we feeding into the hope? And we have to feed into the hope. I think that that's non-negotiable.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the downside is I'm just feeding, period, during the coronavirus because I've been noticing my eating has gone up significantly. I'm working on my six pack after the fall.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I
so relate. So I'm homeschooling two kids and homeschooling is not my thing. And they're really excited about homeschooling. I don't think they realize that I'm the teacher. So they're really, really excited about homeschooling. And I told my husband, I said, eating is my only pleasure. Just don't take it away from me. Make sure we have lots of food. That's the only thing that's getting through me. So the muffin top analogy, I'm only transferring that to business. I'm not transferring that to the kitchen.
And I've got two boys, they're teenagers. And so there's just a, you know, we got a ton of food because we didn't know how long we'd be stuck without being able to get places or whatnot. And we just keep making food. Like, they're making cookies and brownies today. And I'm like, this is not normal. We don't normally cook this kind of stuff, but you know, it is what it is. And it's nice because we are getting to bond with each other and hang out more. And we've been kayaking and paddleboarding and doing some fun stuff, but their homeschool teacher is me, and I've decided that at my homeschool, wine is definitely allowed on the job.
I agree. They drinking. So while talking about family, let's touch the base on that for a second, because I had a few sessions about this just this morning, and I think it's important for us to touch base in that. How many times as working mothers have we thought, I wish I had the time to work on myself. I wish I had the time to, you know, do self-development with my kids. I wish I had the time. And now we have the time. So use this time as a gift. You know, you can reframe Corona like, the time is a gift. Let me make memories. And you can create one memory a day. If you one day you're making cookies, the next day you're making a cake, the third day you're doing a camp in your backyard, you're creating memories. And also, as far as leadership, when our children see the way that we're dealing with this, we're teaching them things that are so precious and beyond math and English, and the kind of skills that it takes for leaders to rise up in situations like we're living right now, I think that that's the best gift and worth more than college education sometimes. So I think that we have to be the leaders that we wanted them to be in that situation.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And it's so important that they look up to us and see us doing positive things and not just being overcome with fear. So that's a great, great point.
And the way that we deal with money in crisis too, are we being generous with our money? Are we investing the causes that we believe in at this time? How are we saving? How are we being wise? How are we being the voice of reason when it comes to money? And how are we teaching them the skills that no ever good decision when it comes to money comes with panic? All decisions that are a great decision when it comes to money, it's level-headed decisions, you know, it's the voice of the reason.
Yep, exactly. So let me ask you, because I know a lot of people ask me this, because a lot of people think I'm a coach. I'm not. But they'll ask me, are you a life coach? Are you a money coach? And what does that entail? What is a life coach? What is a money coach? When you do coaching, what can someone expect when they start working with a coach?
So I am a business coach just because I've been in business my whole life. I like to talk to entrepreneurs. You know, I feel like they're my people, but I'm a money mindset expert. I dealt with money my whole life. I've been in finance my whole life. So I know the practical and the mindset side of money, and I can combine those. A lot of coaches are like either one or the other. I know both. And I'm also a certified life coach by Tony Robbins. So which comes very handy at times like this.
So if someone says, okay, I'm ready to hire a life coach, I'm ready to hire a business coach, what is that going to look like for them?
Sure. So the first thing that they have to do is they have to make sure that they have that gut feeling when it comes to the life coach. They have to do interviews. Don't settle to the first person that you see. Make sure they interview different people. Different coaches have different gifts, and it's important that whatever you need to go to the next step aligns with that person as well. I think that coaching, finding the right coach, finding the right person is very much like dating. You know, there has to be that certain chemistry, that magic that happens in a certain place. And what that looks like. So if you are getting on the phone with me, we're going to have like a little conversation and we'll see if we're the right for each other. If my talents are the missing links for to take your business forward, to take your money mindset forward, to take your life forward. And then we'll go from there, whether we want to work together or not.
Awesome. And how much time per week or month or what kind of time do you guys spend? Do you spend with your clients or do traditional business coaches? I don't know if everyone does it different or the same. And I know these are questions everyone has. So how much time do you spend and what do you expect from your clients? Because there's got to be some expectations for them as well.
For sure. For sure. I love those questions. So my program right now is a 3-month program. So it's for 3 months. We're going to meet on a weekly basis between 60 and 90 minutes. I don't normally time my sessions and I do things differently than most coaches just because I don't like being in a doctor's office. They're like, okay, you're done. Up, time is up. You know, so between 60 and 90 minutes once a week, they do have a free rein of contact with me because I want to get them unstuck for the first 90 days. I want that direct door of communication. If anything happens during that time, I want them to come to me and we work through it right away instead of thinking, okay, wait until the next session. You know, so that's how I work and that's how it has worked for many of my clients, which one of them is going to be reaching $1 million in revenue in 2020. So they have a very high success rates, which I'm really, really proud of. So that's what it would look like. Once a week, we're going to talk. We have open communication. I'm that sounding board. I'm that business partner, you know, without sharing profits. So I'm that business partner throughout time together. And my expectation of them is that they must be driven. They must be action and results oriented. And they must be a person of utmost integrity. That's one of my major values is that they're not doing anything that I don't support, you know, that I don't like it for myself, then I don't work with them.
Right. Okay, cool. And as you've built your business and built a life of entrepreneurship, what are the struggles or the shit that no one wants to talk about that you've seen along the way? What's the beautiful things that have come out of it as well?
Let's talk about that. Oh my gosh, there are so many, so many. Well, the challenge that I've had for myself and I still have right now is that I want to not to have a boss. But then when I was left to my own devices, it didn't really work out for me. I didn't know what to do. I, you know, looked at the computer and I thought that I was doing the things, but there was not enough action. So that's when I decided that coaching was part of my overhead. The same way that I coach people, I always have a coach. I never go without a coach. Sometimes we're just too emotionally attached to our businesses to see from a logical and level-headed side of view. That outside perspective changes a lot. So that's the one thing. Now, the shit that no one likes to talk about, I mean, entrepreneurial is not very glorious, you know? We don't have sometimes technology fails. Sometimes things don't go right. You know, in the coaching world, there's a lot of people who are untrained, who are not getting results, who are better marketers than they are coaches. And that it's one of my pet peeves. There are people making lots and lots of money just because they do marketing very, very well, and they don't really deliver the results. So that's one thing that I think that all of us need to really watch out for.
All right. And then what's your favorite part about being an entrepreneur?
Oh, that's completely selfish. Oh my gosh, that's one of the most selfish things. I want my clients to think of life before Rebecca and life after Rebecca. I'm in the business to change lives. I'm in the business not only to get people to make more money, but it's not about the money for me. It's what the money brings, the flexibility. You know, my family, we're so flexible. We have been to over 50 places in the last 3 or 4 years. I love vacations and we take vacations all the time. My children are like amazing travelers, and they get to pick where they go for their birthdays. Instead of birthday parties or birthday gifts, they get to pick vacation, you know, time. So that's the one thing that I love, the flexibility that it brings me and my family. Like right now, the middle of a pandemic, how many people are going without? How many people, their lives are truly changing because of this? And I'm so blessed and so fortunate that I've built a life where you really, besides my kids being home more often, it really hasn't changed a whole lot. You know, I'm able to homeschool them for 30 minutes, see my clients for an hour, an hour and a half, for another 30 minutes, and just keep going. So that's the business that I'm in, to change lives for people who have that same flexibility as I do. It's not about the money, it's about what the money brings to them.
Yep, I absolutely agree. Like, money is great, but the freedom that comes with it is so great. That's the best part about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? When their stores are running out of toilet paper, money doesn't, we cannot wipe with money.
No. You cannot. You cannot. And yeah, I mean, right now, with the current environment, you know, money could be something that people struggle with in the near future. And you can't let the money side of it control you. You've got to find the freedom to love your life, you know? So, but speaking of money, do you practice saving and retirement planning and investing in any of those things? And if you do, what tidbits of information can you give our listeners regarding saving, investing, retirement planning, all the things?
So I do all of those, but I actually hire professionals to do that for me. So if you are somebody who has the time and who loves doing all that stuff, amazing. My gift is coaching, is not really those things. And I was doing that myself. Like I invested in the stock market recently just because the prices, they're all time low. I've invested in some stocks, but this is something that I'm more comfortable with you hiring somebody to do because that's what I do it myself.
I like that you said that you were using professionals and letting people that know what they're doing and like doing this do those jobs. And you had said a little earlier that you are doing some real estate investing. Is
Yeah,
that right?
so that is correct. So everything now is pretty much stuff, but we do invest in real estate. This is something that my children love to do. They love getting hammers and hammering like walls down. We buy, you know, for low, we modify, we flip, and then we sell it. Those are the things. We've done long-term renting as well, but that wasn't for us. Flipping is more our style.
Okay, that's interesting. So I do more of the long-term rental side. I did a couple of flips and I had the opposite. I was like, oh, yep, no, I can't do that. I'd rather do the long-term rental. Yeah, so I do rentals and people always ask me, like, is it annoying? And I think it's just kind of whatever, you know, I've got some tenants that every month I've got to say, you guys, your rent's due, you know, but they always end up paying it and all that stuff. So there are some headaches that go with it. But, you know, in a crisis situation like this, we've got some backup stuff that makes it really easy for us to get through a difficult time. So I'm glad to hear another woman doing some real estate investing because a lot of women get nervous about real estate investing. So what made you not be nervous about that?
Well, I was mortified. I was terrified, but I just did the same way that I did with coaching. I just did it anyways. I figured that there was money in it. I interviewed a lot of people who were doing it. I sought help from the experts. You know, I have a friend, she's my real estate buddy. And when I call her and I say, I'm desperate to help me. And she calls me to the same. And we do like, you know, just on over the phone or coffee and brunch. But figuring out where the experts are. There's always people willing to share knowledge, you know, interviewing them, knowing that you can't do it all alone, and doing it in the spite of fear. I think that that's the most, we're so fearful when it comes to money in general. And doing it in the spite of fear was the thing that we decided that, okay, if not now, when? Let's just go ahead and do it now.
Let's do it. Yeah, I do. My main presentation that I give when I do speaking engagements is I talk about women in particular and our fear of failure. And so we don't try things. We walk away from money opportunities because we're so afraid that we'll fail at it. And like that will be the end of the world, but it's not. And I like what you're saying that you just said, you know what, I'm just going to do it, see how it works. And let's just, you dove head first in. And that's the only way to learn and grow, you know, and you
That,
can't make money without learning and growing.
yes, and you know what? And that's another mantra of mine. Either I earn or I learn. Either way, I win.
Yep, exactly. That's awesome. So, what is your dream financial goal?
My dream financial goal is to have lots of short-term rentals, beachfront, having the continue with the flipping. You know, we love that adventure as a family. And that would be it. More vacations, more freedom, more outsourcing, you know, having people like my ultimate goal is really not the beachfront house. It should have a, I want to hire a wife. I want to hire someone to come to my house every single day and does all the things that I don't want to do.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Beachfront house would be amazing, but my ultimate goal is hiring a wife. So once I hire my wife and I don't have to do all the things that I don't want to do, then I'll feel pretty accomplished.
Perfect. That's amazing. Let me know how it goes, and I want to find a wife to hire as well for me. So, all right. How do you feel women can work on, so you work with a lot of women, and I'm sure you see that sometimes women become difficult to work with other women. Like we get jealous or nervous, or sometimes we come across mean, but it's a self-esteem issue. So, how do you think women can do a better job of working with each other and supporting each other?
Oh, I love this question. So I have a client that she was amazing and she confessed to me, she said, I didn't want to hire you because I saw you as like my competition. I saw you as someone who was taking away my clients. And she ended up hiring me because she interviewed like 15 people and I was the only one that kind of spoke to her needs. So I think that that's really interesting. And now every time that she has a speaking engagement, I'm a guest speaker in her engagements, and it's really awesome. But so my advice for you is that if you have a feeling against someone, really investigate those feelings. Don't think that what that person is doing. Think about your interpretation of the situation. Are you jealous? Do you feel threatened? You know, and reach out to that person. Reach out, like really go against your instincts and reach out to them because I think that once you start acting and you start seeing people as people, we all have our own insecurities. There are all things that we're better in than other people. For you, Krista, you probably do your own investments and you do long-term real estate rentals, something that I don't do. I like flips and I hire a professional to deal with my stuff because I'm not very good at all that. So we all can be in addition to each other. So really reach out to those women, see what they're all about, see really how you feel about them. And I think that we need to just go against our own instinct and to go against that mean girl, the high school mean girl inside of all of us, because all of us have that mean girl streak at different times, you know? So really make yourself grow from it, you know, make yourself grow from it. I think that we're all jealous, we're all intimidated, we all feel threatened at different times. But the more that you reach out to different people, the more that you be that girl that you want to relate yourself to, the more you're going to attract amazing girls to your life, amazing women, powerful women into your life.
I totally agree. So you're an amazing, powerful woman, and I love all that you do and what you're saying because it resonates with me a ton. So how do you personally take care of other areas of your wealth? And by that I mean your emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual wealth. What are things that you do to take care of those? Because they're equally as important as financial wealth, in my opinion.
For sure. So I do meditation every day. I do EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which is like tapping on acupressure points, you know, to release. I also take care of myself like bubble baths, you know. I do my hair when I'm able to leave the house. I talk to my friends, which is like so amazing. You know, I love having powerful woman friends who I just chat and talk with. So I do take care of myself. And also, I think that the better gift that I have given myself in the last few years is knowing that no is a complete sentence and I don't have to justify it. So saying no has freed so much of an emotional bandwidth for me. And it has been a game changer.
Awesome. What advice would you give to a young woman, or even a woman that shouldn't have to be young, just someone restarting her life or starting her life of entrepreneurship, and what she should be prepared for as she goes on that journey?
So every entrepreneur that I talk to wish they had started the business earlier. Myself, I wish I had started my business 2 years earlier. So don't delay thinking that you need one more thing. All you need is that one step. What's that one step? What's that one thing that you can do today that your future self would thank you for? What's that one thing that is going to like move the needle just slightly? Because we all are thinking about that big action, but what creates a business? Like my business wasn't built on 15-hour days. My business was built 15 minutes at a time. And if you really grasp that, if you do that 15-minute power, 15-minute and do what you have to do, you're going to move forward and do it scared. do it terrified, do it knowing that there is a dreamy side of you that's worth living. There is a wish, there is a powerhouse inside of you that needs to be, you know, out. The sooner the better. You're a gift to the world, and whatever it is that you're providing, the world needs it.
That's beautiful and awesome. All right. So what I always do on the podcast is I ask 5 questions to every guest, and they're easy. They're not difficult or anything, but just to learn a little bit more about you. So they're not difficult, but you'll see they're hard to answer. So the first question is, who is the one woman that you would pick to say that you admire the most and why?
Oprah Winfrey. I think that I also feel accomplished when I'm sitting on her couch being interviewed by her. I just love everything that she's about. I love that she has done business her way, even though, you know, not everybody agrees. I just think that she's a powerhouse.
She is, and her story is just absolutely fascinating. So what is your favorite self-help book? And it doesn't have to be financial self-help. It can just be general self-help, but if it is financial, that's fine too. And can you tell everyone about the book?
Sure. So my favorite self-help book, which comes to money, it's Get Rich, Lucky Bitch by Dennis Dunfield Thomas. She's actually one of my money mentors. And it's amazing. It just talks about all the money mindset, all the things that, especially as women, we have to overcome. All of the beliefs, the limiting beliefs that we have around money, like, oh, I can only get so much because that's where I come from. I can only do this because of, you know, all of these excuses that we try to reframe it as reasons, but they're really excuses. And I really love that book.
Awesome. 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 What is your personal favorite hobby?
Wine. Does that count?
Yes, it certainly does.
Okay. So let me make that better. Wine and a bubble bath. That's my favorite. Oh, and trashy TV shows. I love trashy TV shows.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Right before this whole thing started, at the beginning of March, I told my husband, I said, you know, I'm going to just not drink for the next 30 days so I can lose some weight, you know, flush my system out, blah, blah, blah. And then coronavirus came. And about the third day into it, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back to wine. Otherwise, coronavirus might not kill me, but I might kill people. So
Yes, I'm a dangerous human being without. So wine, definitely. My husband, he knows my love language is wine. So that's what I get for most times where I'm upset with him. That's why he brings home. He knows he brings home.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. All right. What is the last thing you did for fun?
The last thing that I did for fun, well, I've been in the house for 10 days. Oh, I know. We ordered takeout from Red Robin because we were not able to go inside. And we had a picnic in the car. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's fun. And that's what a creative way to, you know, take the what's going on and make it fun. Like so many people are just whining about it. And there's, like we've already talked about, there's so much stuff that you can do to make this an enjoyable time. There's a group of disabled adults that I really love and care deeply about. And so they're in Atlanta and I'm in Florida. So what we did one day this past week is we did a video about how to do chalk art on your patio, because they all have these little apartments with patios. And so we gave them step-by-step instructions and we made put music in the video and stuff and, you know, just made it fun. And I would never, you know, my boys are teenagers. We wouldn't have done chalk art in the driveway on our own, but because of the situation, it led to creating something fun that helped others, you know? So by going to Red Robin, you're still supporting a local business and providing money that they desperately need right now and creating a fun event with your family. So that's pretty cool.
I know. So that was really, really special. And I love that what you did, the chalk art in the garage. I think that just inspired me to do the same.
Yeah, it was cool. We're going to do a few more videos for them on like how to cook a meatloaf and blah, blah, blah. So, all right. And then my very last question is, what is one bucket list item that is left on your bucket list right now that if you don't do, it will absolutely be devastating? So you have to do it.
Mm. Oh, that's a hard one. Okay, so one of my bucket lists is to help entrepreneurs make $5 million in 2020. if I don't do that, that'll be very devastating. But because of our current situation, I might push that goal to 2021. So if I help entrepreneurs make $5 million between 2020 and 2021, I'll feel pretty accomplished.
And I think seeing that the Olympics is pushed back to 2021, I think we can all be forgiven and pushed back to 2021 if we need to. So awesome. All right. Well, that is most of my questions. Is there anything you want to add? Can you tell people how they can contact you, reach out to you, hire you as a coach, follow you on all the social media stuff?
Sure. So come follow me at RebeccaLima.coach on Instagram, RebeccaLima.coach on Facebook. Send me a friend request. Besides my accent, I'm not scary at all. And also I have an amazing group. It's called Making Millionaires. It's a free Facebook group where I'm live having coffee chats every day, talking about all of these things that we talk about. And, you know, sometimes there's no one there to kind of be that sounding board. So I'd love to be that sounding board for you.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to go on and make sure I'm following the group or joining the group, and then make sure you and I are Facebook friends. So, I have loved this time with you. I think you're awesome and so positive, and that's so nice to see, and so accomplished, and just I think it's really cool everything you're doing. So if you ever come to Florida, come visit me. I'm in Daytona. It's beautiful and sunny here most of the time. But I appreciate your time, and I look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you. And I appreciate everything that you do. And thank you for being that voice and for being that platform to all the people who are maybe too scared to talk about money. So I really appreciate everything that you're about.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed hearing from Rebecca as much as I did. I think she's so motivated. She's so successful. She's so financially savvy. And yet she also knows when to step back and let other people do their job so that she can do her job better. So hopefully you guys found a lot of value in this podcast, and I look forward to talking to you guys next week where we have another amazing guest coming up. In the meantime, stay safe, stay home, wash your hands, tell your friends and family that you love them, and just remember that no matter how scary everything with this virus might be in our changing world, you are a badass, you're strong, and boss ladies, you got this.